Welcome to the Positive Communication Show with your host, Matthew Cooper, where crisis meets communication. Join Matthew on the journey of skills, techniques, and wisdom on empowering your communication and enriching your relationships. Matthew has been a student and practitioner of self-help skills and crisis communications for over 20 years. He owns Positive Control Systems, a crisis communication and intervention business, and teaches these skills to parents, teenagers, and professionals. Here is your host, Matthew Cooper.
So on Ohm Times Radio, thank you once again for joining me this Wednesday evening. I'm so excited to be here. There's a lot of fun things to chat about. The people who have come back to say hello and to listen once again, thank you for entrusting me with your evening. Those that are new, awesome. Happy to have you. A little bit about what I am, what I do. In the introduction, it talks about positive control systems, a crisis intervention and communication business. I work with professionals in the troubled youth industry, in the different health industries, nurses, doctors, etc., health practitioners, also working with individuals who are security guards and law enforcement, military, etc. Being able to learn communication skills, not just learn them, but practice them, to master them, if you will, is something that I believe everyone should aspire to in this life. And the reason why I believe that is because everything that we do is communicating something. And when people say, oh, yeah, I'm really good at communication, I say, okay, well, what are you communicating? That catches them off guard usually, because when I ask them what they're communicating, they are not sure. Because if they're good at communicating, they say, well, I get my point across. Really? I look at their fingernails. I look at their haircut or lack thereof. I look at their clothing, how they're wearing it. Are their shoes scuffed? Are they is their hair shaggy? Have they not trimmed their eyebrows in the past 6 years? Little things like that, which most people would say, well, you're just being picky. Yeah, I am. Absolutely I'm being picky, because that is communication. All behavior, everything we do is communicating to those people around us. Being a good communicator would be being able to take the messages that you want communicated and to communicate them with the world around you, and let the world receive the message it is that you are communicating. All too often we have a message, we want to send that message out, and yet is that message getting to people the way that we want it to be communicated? That's the difference. It's completely the difference of how we're communicating and what messages that we are actually sending out, knowingly and unknowingly. And with my business, the Positive Control Systems, it's also – I have a couple of different programs I teach. One is the Positive Control Systems program. The other is Informed Crisis Care. The Positive Control Systems program deals many times with crisis intervention with more, shall we say, let's say more aggressive individuals, more aggressive youth, patients, etc., who are going to be more difficult to handle. One of the facilities, I just finished a training today. We have two-day crisis intervention trainings working with these experts, whether they're professionals such as therapists, which I was working with today. I had a master NLP practitioner who was very happy to see and to hear that I am teaching this material. Pardon me. I'm teaching this material in such a way that he now doesn't have to make up his own material to teach to his staff. He's been using it for years. He's been teaching it. He works on an outpatient basis, working with the troubled youth industry as well as with mental health. And in being able to learn these materials, he in the past didn't have to have a crisis intervention program. Now he's required to by law. He was referred by an individual at the state for licensing and such. They said, you should look at this program, or something like this program. They wouldn't give many other names except for my program. So I'm thinking, that's kind of nice to have someone refer you that way. And so going onwards, being able to have a crisis intervention program like the Positive Control Systems program, it specifically is great for teenage boys, individuals that are more aggressive and that can have violent tendencies. The other program, the Informed Crisis Care program, That's, shall we say, a little more soft, a little more gentle, ideal for working with female populations or populations of smaller children in these situations. If you're dealing with, say, a law enforcement officer, and if they're having too many issues with them using over-the-top amounts of force, well, this is a good program to use because it teaches how to generate the force and yet how to also prevent yourself from being attacked and being the recipient, if you will, of someone attacking you in the same way. No, this is not for violent offenders. This is more of something you would use when working with a crowd or working with, say, youth when you're required to take someone down. A high school student is not really going to be able to fight an officer very well if the officer is well trained. If the officer is not well trained, it's going to be a brawl. And if that high school student, if they're bigger, stronger, faster, it's going to be an issue. Now, it's not just law enforcement. It's also the same with my crisis intervention programs, the youth facilities, troubled youth, also the drug and alcohol addiction programs that I work with, and in addition to that, the health, mental health locations. I was one of my instructors today that I was working with. She mentioned that sometimes the clients that she works with, they are just not having those connections upstairs, she mentioned. They don't have that same connection with the analogs. If you're talking to them and trying to use words and speaking to them, she says they just don't connect. They don't understand, and they just get violent sometimes. Okay. They get violent. They may be frustrated. They may not understand. They may have some issues. If we have skills that we can redirect them without hurting them, talk to them, calm them, and de-escalate them, that is what we want. We want to prevent the issue from happening in the first place, of course. If that's not possible, though, we need to have something we can use to calm and to de-escalate them after the fact in a safe way. That's the biggest push for what I'm looking at with my programs is safety, safety, safety. Both safety for the program, safety for the staff, and safety for the clients. Everyone needs to be safe to reduce the possibilities of risk and damage as much as possible. I hope that makes sense. It's one of the things that I really enjoy doing. I enjoy teaching these classes because I just love it. I love seeing their eyes light up, the people's eyes light up. Oh, 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 and seeing their faces, their body language changes, their confidence comes into their eyes when they're confronted with somebody who is attempting to physically push them around. Like, oh, I can handle this. I don't have to get flustered. I don't have to get angry. I don't have to get anxious. And it is so exciting to me. It's invigorating. I really, really enjoy teaching them the physical skills that help them to gain the confidence that they can handle these situations in a positive way. I love using the verbal skills. They're something that we should be using every day, all day long. Now, when I say verbal, I mean the communication skills, not just the crisis intervention type verbal skills, but it's the verbal skills that also allow us to build a connection with people in our lives. Part of this training that I teach is with the neuro-linguistic programming, the NLP. If you're not familiar with neuro-linguistic programming, go back, look online, check out Richard Bandler. He and John Grinder were the two fathers of NLP as we have it today. It is a fantastic tool. It's a fantastic series of tools because it has morphed and has grown. It has evolved as time has passed from back in the 1970s, 60s and 70s when it was first introduced. It has come so far, and I'm sure it will go much further in teaching us how we can use our brain to expand our potential and learn to model on the success of those in our lives and those that we even just see in the media. We can begin to model ourselves after those people. It's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating, the potentials that we have. Anyway, I wanted to just briefly mention those things, and then I wanted to talk about some of the things that we're going to be going over in the latter portions of the program tonight. One of the things that's a big, big deal for me that I spoke of today in my training, as well as wanting to share with all of you, and hopefully that all of you are already doing this. If you are, fantastic. I am so excited. I'd love to get your feedback on this. If you are not using these skills, one of these skills here I'll mention here in a moment, I would like to encourage you, please, to make the effort to incorporate this in your life. And the first set of skills that we'll be talking about is acceptance versus tolerance. and how those are such a huge issue that I've noticed in the media today. I've noticed in the way that children interact with their parents. I've noticed in the way that partners will interact with each other, in the ways that politics and equality, all these different issues are coming back to acceptance versus tolerance in so many ways. And I want to share and talk about that more. And then I'll also be talking about Dr. John Gottman. I don't know if you've heard of him. He has a book called The Relationship Cure. This is only one of many books that he has. This is one that I have, and it's right here in front of me. He also has it's called The Five-Step Guide to Strengthening Your Marriage, Family, and Relationships. And this book is packed, absolutely packed, with some of the best information that I have seen in a very long time that almost changes the game. It's a game changer in how you are communicating and connecting with people in your life. And it's not complicated. It's not as if, even though he has a doctorate degree, it's not as if you're trying to get his own doctorate degree to make this work. He has broken it down in such a simple way, which I'll be outlining later on, and then talking about it. And I would encourage you, please, try a couple of these principles once I've talked about them, and hopefully it can make a positive impact on your life. I know that it has with mine, and I know that it has changed the way that I interact with my children, because now I'm seeing when they come and ask me for something, whatever it is, that is a bid for my attention. And I can act in a specific way, a couple of different ways, to that bid for attention if I want to get the positive results out of it. If not, it might turn out to be a little more negative than I'm wanting. So, as I mentioned, we're going to talk about acceptance versus tolerance, what those are, why those are such a big deal, and then also talking about the Dr. John Gottman and some of the things we'll be mentioning with that is turning to, turning away, or also turning against with the bids. Huge, huge part. So stick around. We'll have a break coming up in just a few moments. Any questions, go to Matthew Cooper on Facebook in Lehi, Utah. I'd be happy to chat with you then. Stick around.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hey ladies, do you want to have that good hair day feeling all the time? Gentlemen, would you want your special someone to have that glow letting you know she's feeling completely satisfied? This feeling and that glow can be yours by embracing your sexual power. So join me, Rachel Kenley, award-winning romance author, on The O-Spot. The O-Spot will guide you to that peak with guest interviews, book discussions, and conversations on the thrills of sexual empowerment. Put the zing back in your life. Come up and see me sometime on The O-Spot, live on Hump Day at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. This is Matthew Cooper with the Positive Communication Show on OM Times Radio. I wanted to really quick also, for those of you that are listening right now, have you gone to OMTimes.com? If you go to OMTimes.com, look at the newest article or newest magazine episode or issue they have out right now. I like Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman, he played Wolverine in the X-Men movies. Really enjoy his acting. He is quite a versatile gentleman. He can do the dramas, he can do the action, and everything in between. He has put out a documentary called Duke Hale's Dream. I was very surprised. I didn't realize he had done anything like this. And the article that's in the Ohm Times magazine is a very nicely done article. Talks about the coffee and how it's grown and how Mr. Hugh Jackman was able to go to Africa and go to a farm. And he met this one gentleman called Duke Hale. And then listening to how he was trying to raise his family out of poverty. And Hugh Jackman has since created, I believe it's a nonprofit organization where he donates 100% of the proceeds back to being able to have these different farmers with the free trade and both tea and coffee farmers being able to sell their goods and be able to get a good amount of funds back from that and make sure it's fair, make sure that they're able to take care of their families and improve their living and change their communities, change all of these farmers and the lives that they have and hopefully improve them for the better for the future. So I would encourage all of you, go ahead, take a look at the GoOhmTimes.com, check out the magazine. I personally like the Hugh Jackman article. I also saw a couple of other articles that I thought were also quite inspiring. The one on making sure we know where we're going, a couple of those on the different parts of spirituality and finding out where our dreams are, where our goals are. Really, really great stuff. So I'd really highly recommend you check that out. As I mentioned before the break, I was going to be talking about acceptance versus tolerance. As I mentioned, in the first section of the program here, that I taught a training today. It was yesterday and today for some of my instructors for the Positive Control Systems program. Very, very good stuff. Really enjoy that material. We were talking about a wide variety of things. A lot of it centered around being able to have an open mind and open heart when you are working with these individuals, whether they're going to be the mental health. We talk about high-functioning mental health individuals. I do not work a lot with the facilities that are working with very serious mental issues. I mostly work with facilities that have high-functioning mental health, both youth. Some of them work with adults. It depends on which ones. Then we also talk about the drug and alcohol addictions and the centers that work with them. And in being able to work with these people, it's really easy at times to get frustrated with how they're not responding the way we want them to. Additionally, in working with the troubled youth homes, the staff members often want the youth to do what they say. I'm in charge. I'm one of the staff members. You have to listen to me, right? And though I can understand where they're coming from, especially as a parent and also in having worked in the industries and being able to listen to the responses from some of these individuals you're working with, you want them to just listen, just pay attention and do what I say. However, you may want them to do that. It doesn't mean they're going to. It doesn't mean they're in the right place to be able to accept and understand that. And it doesn't mean that you have all the answers for them. And so with the message that I'm getting across and communicating is talking about acceptance versus tolerance. Because when we try and push our view, our opinion, our idea onto someone else, that's rough. That's tough. Tough on a relationship. It's tough on friendships. It's tough on any type of connection we're trying to make with another person when we are attempting to push what we believe is right on them, telling them that I'm right, you're wrong. I'm big, you're small. I'm smart, you're dumb. And continuing onwards. If you've watched the movie Matilda, had Danny DeVito in it and a couple of other individuals, great little show. Not only was it for the kids, but it also had some parts that were very poignant for adults and how people are treating their children and how Danny DeVito was a great, fantastic actor in being able to show how this one used car salesman dad was treating his daughter as well as his wife and her sibling, the girl Matilda, her sibling, and the school she went to with Mrs. Trunchbull or Miss Trunchbull, excuse me. All these things, really fun. The point being there is, though, the acceptance versus tolerance, trying to force someone to do what you say because you are smarter. You think you are. You think you're smarter and better than they are. So you're forcing them to do it. If they don't, well, you tolerate their actions and their behavior. You will say, okay, fine. I'll deal with it for now. But just wait. Well, that idea of, well, for now, I'll deal with it. That's tolerance. You are tolerating just the same way that you can only handle so much heat or so much sun before you get sunburned. There's only so much you can do. A great example of this, if you're wanting to further understand what I'm trying to talk about here and trying to convey, is I worked in the aerospace industry for a while as a quality control technician. We had different kinds of aircraft parts that we were required to measure and test and make sure they were within the specifications, the tolerances of the blueprints that the engineers had decided that this is what you need it to be, this thickness, and it can be an extra amount this much or under that ideal desired amount by this much. So they called it plus or minus, say, 5 or 10 thousandths of an inch. And if it was too big, it wouldn't fit. If it was too small, it wasn't strong enough to do the job it needed to do, and it could break or it could fail at a crucial time. Well, that tolerance meant that there's only so much, this a middle area where things are good enough. If it's outside of that, it's not good enough, and it's not acceptable. If we're treating people like that, that if they are too far one direction or the other, outside of what we believe is good enough for us, then we are only tolerating those that are outside of those that medium, that center amount that we want. Another example you can look at is a pressure cooker. You've seen those old pressure cookers, right? The aluminum ones where they have on the top, there's the temperature gauge, and it will rock back and forth. When the steam gets up to a certain amount, the pressure builds up. And to allow it to stay at that certain pressure, but also to prevent it from building too much and blowing a seal or a gasket or something becoming very dangerous, it has to let off that steam. It has to give off that steam so that way it will not make it dangerous internally. Well, we're oftentimes the same way. When we are tolerating someone, we only allow so much to build up before we have to let some steam off. We don't like what someone's doing. Oh, it builds up. We don't like it. Oh, it builds up. We really don't like it. Oh, it builds up until finally, oh, I got to let it out and let them know how much I don't like it. I have to let off some steam. When you let off steam, usually what happens is that causes the person that you're talking to feel underappreciated, upset, hurt because of how you let off steam. And if this person is important to you, you'll then often say, oh, I'm really sorry, I lost my temper, and you now have to eat your words. You have to apologize because you were not able to accept them. Instead, you just tolerated them until you had to let off some steam. So that kind of tolerance is not going to be appropriate in our lives. It's going to actually be very detrimental, damaging to us. And I would highly recommend you think about what you're doing. Are you tolerating somebody's behavior? Or are you accepting their behavior? Accepting would be allowing them to be who they are. Allowing them to be who and what they are. This last weekend, there was Gay Pride out here in Salt Lake, the Pride Festival. Had some friends that went to that. I personally didn't go. Had other things I was working on. And yet I had some friends that went. They said, oh, it was fantastic. It was great. A lot of friends, a lot of posts on Facebook, with also feedback saying how awesome it was. And in Utah, and it's not just Utah, I've noticed it's around the country as well, but in Utah, I've noticed it quite a bit since I live here. There is, according or in some groups of people, they are not very accepting of other people. They will tolerate them. They will tolerate their behavior. They will tolerate saying, okay, fine, you can do that. I don't agree though. Well, last time I heard, when you accept someone, you don't have to agree with what they do. You simply allow them to be who they are and how they are. And if you're following certain spiritual paths, you love them for their choices. letting them be who they are. You don't have to agree with their choices. You love them instead, though, for who they are as a person. And if they make a choice you don't agree with, that's okay. You still love them for it. That's a very big difference. I really enjoy the Zen mindset. The Zen Buddhism practices, I don't follow Buddhism, but I do really enjoy the Zen aspects of Zen and Taoism because of the mindset of acceptance, which they both have, and also learning to accept others and other things in life for what they are. There's one Zen saying, if you cannot find it where you are standing, where do you expect to wander in search of it? One of my favorites. If you cannot find it where you're standing, where do you expect to wander in search of it? The reason why this is so empowering, I love this saying, is because if we are not going to find our own happiness, our own peace, our own love for ourselves or anyone else, if we cannot find it where we are in ourselves right here, where are you going to go to find it? Do you have to travel somewhere? Do you have to go on a pilgrimage? Do you need to go to a special sacred place in the mountains, in a mosque, in a temple, a church, or something such as that? Or can you find it within yourself? And what really struck me is as I learned, as I grew older, as I studied and searched within my heart and myself, I realized that we all have the potential within ourselves to find this happiness, this peace, the silence. And when we're able to have that, that is what changes us. That shows in our actions towards others, in our acceptance for others and their choices, in our love and acceptance, not tolerance, love and acceptance for all people and all things. That doesn't mean that I'm perfect. Oh man, no, not even close. I've got all kinds of issues. I think we all do. Some of us, as you may say, fall off the wagon. Sometimes I get upset. Ooh, that's not a good thing. Sometimes I may even raise my voice. Oh, not very often. I'm much better than I used to be. But it doesn't mean that I don't screw up. We all do. It's how we choose to work with that. And are we constantly getting back on to fix those problems? See you in just a few moments, right after the break.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. What if business could be fun? What if business is the adventure of living? What are you choosing? Where do you do business that makes it easier, more fun, or more joyful for you? We'd love to see where you do business. Connect with us on Instagram at Joy of Business or Twitter at Joy of Business and share your pictures with hashtags Business Done Where and Joy of Business. Let's change the world with business.
Imagine magnificence. Do you live to your unlimited potential? Join me, Margaret Ann Lembo. Awaken your consciousness. Listen to Money Magnet Moment, Gem Spot Affirmations, Essential Aromatics, and Looking Skyward Astrocast, Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. This is Matthew Cooper with the Positive Communication Show on OM Times Radio. Alrighty. We have talked about acceptance versus tolerance. We've also talked a bit about what I do with my business, the positive control systems, crisis intervention, and crisis communication. Also, crisis prevention would be a really good thing to also add to that since we do prefer to prevent the issue from happening in the first place. So communication is constantly going on. Everything we do, everywhere around us, always, we're communicating. So, continuing onwards. I also mentioned at the very beginning of the program that we're going to be talking about Dr. John Gottman. And he has a book called The Relationship Cure. It is chock full of great, great information. And it's actually so good, I'm adding some of this material, of course, citing him, making sure he gets all the credit for it in my one of my programs, because it is so incredibly – what's the right good word for it? To me, it's almost breathtaking how important it is, and recognize that we've been doing this, what he calls turning to or turning away or even turning against these bids for attention. We've been doing this our whole lives, and he is now giving it a name and realizing, oh, well, if you do this and the other person responds, it's how they respond and how many bids are being given that can tell you whether a relationship will last or not. It also can tell how well you're going to have relationships with your children and long-term, so your spouse, your partner for life, being able to find out if their life partner is going to stick with them or not. This is huge. It's absolutely huge. And I really, really love how he talks about it. Really briefly, the book's called The Relationship Cure, a five-step guide to strengthening your marriage, family, and friendships. I love the book. It's fantastic. And what he talks about in there, I haven't even read the entire book. I've read about half of it. And that already, I almost feel like I'm information overload. And it takes a lot to get me there. It is great. He gives so many different examples of experiences he's had, experiences specifically that he has had with his clients, with these people that have come in to his research center where they had a apartment where couples could live over the weekend. And they had cameras and et cetera in the main areas. They didn't have it in the bedroom, thankfully. Being able to have the cameras in the main living quarters so they can watch how the couples interact. And it was very, very noteworthy on how often the couples would turn, we call it turning to or turning away, turning to each other on how well their relationship was and how well he predicted it would continue to be. They were in the low to mid 90s and determining percentage-wise whether a couple would stay together for the next few years or not. That much of a percentage. It was really fascinating. Well, turning to, turning against, or turning away. Let's look at bids first. First is a bid for attention. The person is saying something. They're trying to get your attention to say something. Hey, have you seen this new movie? No. Well, that wouldn't be a lot of information coming back, would it? How are you feeling today? Asking, seeing how a person is doing. Do anything fun at work? Once again, you're asking a question, trying to get their attention to look at you. You may smile, make a funny face. It could be even just waving at someone. It's saying, hey, I am here. Do you recognize that I am also here and I'm attempting to get your attention and to interact with you? That's what a bid would be considered. Okay. When you're considering that bid, we now have to ask, how is the other person treating you or responding to that bid? So if you are attempting to get a person's response, you wave to them, they wave back with a smile. Oh, okay, they have turned to you. All right. If they, instead of looking at you and waving and smiling back, they look at you and then literally turn away or just ignore you, that would be considered turning away. Okay, it's not a very positive thing. It's not super negative. It's just more they ignored your bid. Then there's turning against. This is one that really was interesting to me. That's when, for example, if you wave your hand, hey, how you doing? Smile at somebody, and they instead flip you the bird, or they scowl at you, and they call you a moron, or whatever you want to call you. They call you a name, they yell at you, whatever. They're now actively working against that bid that you had to them for attention. Does that make sense? And that's just breaking down what he had mentioned. It's a super condensed version. There's a lot of other specifics in there that I really enjoyed. I'll go into in a few moments. But I wanted to at least get the basic ideas of the turning to, turning away, and then turning against. Does that make sense now? Turning to is acknowledging, usually in a positive way, giving feedback to what the person is saying. You smile at them, wave, they smile and wave back. Turning away, they pretty much ignore you. They don't give you a positive feedback, or they may divert it. So example, hey, how you doing? Hey, have you seen the paper? Have you seen my book? Have you seen my glasses? Any of those things. Rather than acknowledging, they actually will ask another question, completely diverting and not even showing you that attention of saying, yes, I recognize that you just asked me a question. Then we have turning against, which would be oftentimes being hostile, being belligerent, being angry, being frustrated, and showing that negative energy to you is very strong, turning away or turning against, excuse me. So are you recognizing any relationships that you have where people are turning away from you? Any relationships where people are turning to you? Or anything in your relationship people are turning against you? Something to really think about. I'm noticing patterns in my relationships. This is really powerful, powerful stuff. For example, he goes here and talks about when you're having the turning to and turning away. This is something that I really thought was interesting. He says, bids can also be hard to decipher when the bidder doesn't acknowledge his or her needs for connection. This is more like a passive-aggressive type of an issue. Or if someone says, I want you to help me to feel better about my life. I want you to give me attention. But they don't tell you how. They don't give you the additional information. These are some frustrations that I personally have had from my life and my relationships. It's hard knowing what they want, especially when I want to be an expert in communication. If you're talking to your child and they say, yeah, you know, I wish we could hang out more. Well, what if you've spent the last 6 weeks hanging out with them and spending time with them, spending an average of 3 to 5 hours a day at home with them doing activities? If that's not hanging out, what is? Find out what they're wanting. Find out the specifics of what they're wanting so that way you can help them. And I'll cover a little bit more of that here in a few moments. But they mentioned that when the bidder doesn't acknowledge their own his or her own needs for connection, and when that happens, the bids can get disguised as something else, usually anger or sadness. And this is particularly common among children, but it can also happen with adults. And when a person, if there's marital problems, for example, or if there's other issues, like they mentioned temper tantrums, especially with children, crying fits, belligerence and sassiness, maybe bids for connection in such situations. Now, it's so easy. It's so easy for us to get caught up in ourselves where we want them to tell us what's going on, when sometimes they're just saying, talk to me about what I'm feeling and thinking. Please just ask me. I need you to know that I am feeling this way. Does that make sense? One of the things when I was mentioning about my training that I had today, some of my clients, we were talking about the way that it's really easy for us to get emotionally involved when someone tells us no. If you're asking someone, one of your clients, to do something and they say, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, why are they saying no? Instead of getting it emotionally attached to, they told me no, they're resisting me. Well, it's not about that. Don't make it about you. Don't make it about what's happening and it's personal now. Avoid that. I believe it was Jim Rohn that said, he was talking about they're not doing it to you, or they're not doing it to you, they're doing it for themselves. They're not doing it to you, they're doing it for themselves. And when they are doing it for themselves, they are acting in their own way, whatever that action may be, in order to help them feel a positive feeling within themselves. So if someone is angry and frustrated, remember tolerance, and they've only tolerated so much, they need to get off some steam, they may yell, they may scream, they may call names, etc. And if you are the recipient, you are just a target. You are someone who got in the crossfire and you were yelled at and screamed at. It doesn't mean that you were the problem. It simply means that you were there and they yelled and screamed at you. It's not personal. They weren't doing it to you. They were doing it for themselves because they were frustrated, they were angry, they were having some issues in their life. And if you take it personal, you make it personal about what's going on, that then changes how that person will be treating you and how you treat that person. Now, does anyone want to be treated poorly? No, absolutely not. I don't like getting yelled at or treated badly more than anyone else does. I like being treated well and acknowledged and talked to. I like that. I enjoy that. I like my silence and my quiet time as well. However, when I interact with people, I want them to treat me well. If they don't, I don't want to be around them. That's pretty simple, right? It's kind of like a, call it a binary set. You feel good, you want to be around them. You don't feel good, you don't want to be around them. Pretty simple. So we want to be around people that treat us well. If they don't, well, then we don't want to spend time around them. If they're family, if they're someone that's important to us, someone we love and care for, we will take the time, hopefully, to stay around them. Well, if we stay around them, we need to find out what is causing those issues and see if we can help. That's what I personally feel. And if we can help them to find out what those issues are, then hopefully we'll be able to improve our relationship and help them to be happier, and then we'll be able to have more harmony in the relationship between us. So asking questions and finding out, hey, what's going on? What I call a non-judgmental attitude, being able to look at the person, separate the person from their behavior and their actions. If their behavior is negative, don't take it personal. If their actions are negative, don't take it personal. Ask what's going on with them. What's causing them to be feeling this way? And this also jumps back to our earlier topic of acceptance versus tolerance. By making sure that we are turning to, rather than turning against or turning away, turning to their bid and saying, hey, there's an issue. How can you help me, or how can I help you? How can I help you? What can I do to help you? We are turning to them, even if they may be turning away or turning against. If they're frustrated, if they're angry, if they're not feeling well, we don't know what their health is like. We don't know if they have a stomach ache. We don't know if they're having indigestion. We don't know if they have a headache or a migraine. These are things we need to look for. Ask. Find out. They will help us to be better partners in our relationship. Doesn't matter if it's your spouse, doesn't matter if it's your children, parents, siblings, co-workers, whatever. Doesn't make a difference. We need to take that time. Stick around. Be back right after the break.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on OM Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Welcome to The Gathering Around My Kitchen Table on Equilarium FM, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join my guests as we integrate spirituality into everyday reality with vibrant conversations, inspired interviews, and my latest channeled guidance to inspire and brighten your day. I'm Claire Johnson, and together we'll be raising vibrations across the nations.
Bringing you the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids.
This is Matthew Cooper with the Positive Communication Show on OM Times Radio. Previous to this segment, now that we're on the last segment, we've spoken about acceptance versus tolerance. In the most recent segment, we talked about turning to, turning away, and turning against bids for affection and attention. In John Gottman's book, The Relationship Cure, a 5-step guide to strengthening your marriage, family, and friendships. Oh, man, great stuff. Lots of great information there. If you take the time to check on that, go ahead, look at that book. It would make a huge difference when you're going through looking at the acceptance, looking at turning to, turning away, looking how you can be able to work with the bids, learning to be able to communicate with these different people in your life that are so important to you in positive ways that you can build those relationships, make them stronger, and keep them stronger. Lots of information. I'm still into the book, but I have because there's so many good things. Information overload for me, and I love lots of information. He talks about the difference between men and women. He goes into lots of exercises in helping us to figure out what we can do. And also what he calls bid busters and how they can actually break down the bid when you're having a positive bid and how some of the things that we do that we don't think about can actually damage that connection. If a person is bidding for our attention, if you're using a negative bid, now that's also a challenge. If they're using a negative bid to get your attention, do you respond in a negative way to it? That's another big issue. Talking about how your brain works and how we have an emotional command center. And okay, well, how can we work with this? How can we avoid having these different problems? How can we be able to take over, if you will, like the commander-in-chief of our brain and make it work versus these different other aspects and different ways that we work and communicate with people? Okay. He also mentions your emotional heritage. How did you communicate with your parents? How did they communicate? What happened when you were experiencing the communication with your parents? Did they call you names? Did they build you up? Did they talk to you in a positive way? Did they belittle you? We don't know. You need to explore and think about some of these questions he asked here to be able to build that information. Then you can know more about yourself, what you might be doing, which is not as effective, or things that you are doing, which you want to continue, that your partner may or may not be doing, that can help you to improve your communication with them. He also, on step 4, talks about sharpening your emotional communication skills. Look for those body language, the analogs which I talk about, the facial expressions, the voice tones, how you're communicating. Also being able to have, we talk about the boundaries, the distancing, how close or how far away you are from someone. If you look at the book, The 5 Love Languages by Dr. Gary Chapman, he talks about how we have 5 main love languages which we use. We have giving of gifts, we have quality time, we have actions of consideration, words of affirmation, which are positive words which affirm things with us, and then also physical touch. I love physical touch. And if you stay away from a person that loves physical touch, being able to just touch their arm, touch their hand, if they are your intimate partner and they don't touch you, you know, that kind of creates a distance, doesn't it? If your children and you don't have a connection with them, you don't give them hugs. You don't let them know that you love them. And their love language includes being able to have physical touch. They're going to feel distance from you. If you want them to know that you love them, you need to do more than just give gifts. If you have plenty of money, but you don't have a lot of time, well, maybe you might want to think about spending some more time with your children rather than just showering gifts. Gifts are awesome. I'm not saying don't do it. What I am saying is gifts are only part of it. They're only one of the 5 love languages. So if you're able to share your time, do things for them, talk nice to them, these make a huge difference in the way that you're going to be connecting with them. Huge, huge difference. Let's see. He continues to go on and help you to improve what you are doing and then find not only the meaning for yourself, but also a shared meaning that you can work with your partner on. Because if you can't connect with your partner in these ways, it is really difficult to be able to have a great relationship when you don't have shared ideals, shared connections, shared dreams, shared goals for what you're looking at for the future. If each of you are going in your own way, that's really, really tough to be able to have that connection. And so I highly recommend going ahead and looking at that book, The Relationship Cure by Dr. John Gottman. Recapping the information, because this is one of my passions. It's very important to me. Learning to understand acceptance versus tolerance. I would recommend for this upcoming week. Take it as your homework. Being able to recognize, all right, where in my life am I accepting people around me? And where am I simply tolerating them? Do you have children? You may love them dearly. I love my children very dearly. However, do you accept them as people, as individuals that have their own ideas, thoughts, dreams, and a future that which is going to be different than yours? Do you accept that they are different? And if you accept that they're different, do you accept them as the individuals who they are? Do you try and change them? Do you try and force them onto paths which you think will be better for them? Or are you able to guide and direct them, accepting their choices and then recognizing that you can be a positive influence to help them move towards things that you think will be more appropriate? As a father of five, I really have to apply this on a regular basis. And with those five, four of them are teenagers. And I've raised a sixth one. My other daughter who's out of the house, she's 24. I think she's 24, about that. Married and having a dog. No kids. And with that being the case, that she's married and I've done my best to raise her, she saw the old me. She saw how I used to act with my children. She saw how I was the dad that I was. And she has watched over the years, and it was one of the greatest compliments that she could ever give me when she told me, I think it was just last year, that she has watched how I have worked with the kids after the divorce. And I have been able to make such a huge change in me as a person, and also the way that the kids act. My other children, when they're down visiting her and seeing her, she can see the way they act is so much different in how they act around me than how it used to be. I am much more peaceful. I'm much more happy. I act in a different way because I am happier. One of the things I was chatting with a friend today at lunch, one of the things that we were chatting about is how happiness is an inside job. You can say what you want about it, but happiness is something that we have to find within ourselves. We can be miserable. We can be miserable with everything and anything we could want around us. We can also be happy having very little and still being able to find that happiness within us. There was a story that I do not remember where the story where I found it originally, and yet it was of two boys. One boy, he was not very, very happy, it seemed. He was put in a room with all of the best, newest, and most beautiful toys you could ever wish for. And the scientist had monitors watching and seeing the cameras. Okay, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? And he just sat in that room. He just sat in that room and wouldn't touch anything. Another boy, they put him in a room filled, I mean, just a big pile in the middle of horse manure. Yep, horse crap. That's what it was filled with. And that kid just jumped in that pile and started digging away, digging holes. People were thinking, what in the world is going on? So after an hour, they go in there and they take the boys out and talk to them. The one boy, they put him in the toys. They said, we put you in that room full of toys. Why did you just sit there? Why didn't you do anything? He said, well, I knew that if I played with something and broke it, then I'd get in trouble for it. So I decided it's best that I didn't touch anything. That's where he was at. That's where he was at inside, where his mindset was. Other little boy, they said, why did you start digging in that mound of horse crap? The kid said, hey, I've been wanting a pony. And if there's this much horse crap, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. If we've got a lot of crap in our lives, are we digging and looking for a pony? Is there a pony in there somewhere? Can we find it? Richard Bandler, I mentioned him earlier about one of the fathers of NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming. He stated in one of his books that we never see the world as it is. We can only see the world as we are. If we are not happy, we cannot find the happiness in the world. If we are not satisfied, we cannot find satisfaction in our world. If we are not at peace, we cannot find peace within our world around us. And so I encourage all of you, please, if you're wanting to have happiness, if you're wanting to have peace, if you're wanting to find love, if you're wanting to find acceptance, if you're wanting to find that future, that goal, that yellow brick road that guides you towards your end destination, I would suggest that you look for it within yourself first before you go and look for the external parts in your world. Because if you don't find it within yourself first, where do you expect to wander to find it? I have learned some of the hard lessons in life, the hard way, by experience, by failing, by falling. And the trip falling down was not very pleasant. Part of that, one of those experiences, was a divorce which nearly destroyed me. And yet, I can look back on that now and I realize that that was probably one of the best things that could ever happen to me. Yes, I know that sounds strange and possibly masochistic. No, I didn't say it was fun. I didn't say it was enjoyable. I said it was one of the best things that ever happened to me. It changed how I looked at life. It changed how I was working with the world around me and the people in my life. I recognized them. I appreciated them. I would recommend you all do the same. I will see you, well, at least talk to you, next week, same time, same place. I'll see you there.